Let's bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Lord, as we move forward into this new year and into the new sort of topics that we run into in this particular time between Christmas and Easter, there's lots going on and lots in the church life that's going on. And equally, there's a lot going on in each of our lives individually. And sometimes on Sunday morning, it's hard to come together and focus for a moment on listening for your word to us. And so we pray that right now, that we can calm our souls, calm our spirits, calm our minds, and listen for you. Listen for you to, like that dove, descend down on our midst and teach us this morning. And so, Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my mind will be uplifting and acceptable before you and your people this morning. And we pray this in the name, the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You know, the Gospels, all four of the Gospels, tell us almost nothing about the training or education that early part. So we have the sort of in some detail the story of Jesus' birth. We have an account later on of the wise men coming. We have an account of one or two episodes when he was a bit younger. And then suddenly we're up to this point where he's being baptized. And he's aged 30, 33, something 30 anyway, give or take. There's a gap. There's a little bit, like I say, about his childhood in Luke. But as soon as we're hearing about the preaching of John the Baptist, it just jumps all, like, from that to all of a sudden we're into like what we read today. Now, just to reconnect the dots a little bit for us, John was a relative of Jesus, as we've said to the children this morning. He was a prophet who preached that the Messiah, and the Messiah being the anointed one who would save God's people, was going to appear. That's how we are introduced to the whole character of John. John called people to change their lives and to get ready for God's Savior to appear among them. And a fine point, I suppose, and something that took me a long time to connect, is that baptism is taking place in this particular account. Clearly, that's what's happening with Jesus. And so baptism is something that's a very old tradition that takes place and literally predates the Christian church as we understand it. John is calling people to change their ways. He's taking them down to the River Jordan, and he's fully immersing them to a rebirth, exactly what we talk about with baptism. Crowds of people were coming to the River Jordan to hear John talk. Now, to give context to John a little bit, there hasn't been a prophet for hundreds and hundreds of years. And the people were looking for a prophet, especially in the instances that they found themselves, to be speaking and be talking about repentance and coming back to God, because they saw this as a need in their lives. And here comes John, and he does that. So people were coming in throngs to hear him speak and to be baptized by him at the river. And literally, as I said, John's dumping them down into the water and raising them back up again. And as they rose from that water, they came into a new life clean. It was a ritual cleansing as much as anything. Eventually, as we read that story, Jesus himself appears and he goes down to the river to be baptized by John, just like all those other people had done. The important part of this story is that Jesus' baptism marks the point when Jesus passed from being kind of a private figure to becoming a public figure. In other words, it's a public declaration of what he's going to be doing and who he is. And you can hear that a little bit in the conversation between John and Jesus, because John thinks that Jesus should baptize him, because I'm just telling people about the Messiah. You are the Messiah. And Jesus says, no, 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 you have to baptize me. That brings everything full circle. Because this is kind of my loosely worded graduation day, if you like. This is the day in which I'm coming forth into the crowds. Matthew's gospel relates that when Jesus comes down to the bank of the River Jordan, John was at first, as I said, reluctant to baptize him. John's baptism marked the forgiveness of sins. But when John sees Jesus, he realizes that this is the one of whom he had said, I baptize you with water, but someone is coming who is much greater than I am. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He's much greater than I am, and I'm not good enough to even carry his sandals. And that's quoting from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is the one for whom John has been preparing the people, and yet Jesus allows himself to be baptized by the one who's doing the preparations, John. Usually we associate baptism with water, which is why some of what we've read in the Old Testament and the other readings that we had this morning are talking about water. The Psalm talks a lot about that. And renewal and power and God's presence are all found within the water and on the water. But John, in this particular instance, uses another image. He says Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. And that's a prophecy that's fulfilled at Pentecost, we read about, after the 50 days of Easter have gone by. The disciples suddenly felt the power of the Holy Spirit on them. Luke, in the Gospel, tells the story in his second volume in Acts, and he puts it this way. When the day of Pentecost came, all the believers were gathered together in one place. Suddenly there was a noise from the sky which sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the house where they were sitting. They saw what looked like tongues of fire which spread out and touched each person there. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Acts 2. Fire is another symbol of God and God's power throughout the Bible. Moses hears the voice of God from a burning bush. God descends in fire upon Mount Sinai to give Moses the Ten Commandments. Fire in the Old Testament represented the presence of God, but it also stood for a purging. God is sometimes described as like a refiner's fire, bringing purification, destroying what is unjust and wrong. And when we are baptized in Jesus' name, something of that holy fire of God comes upon us in our lives. For we who are Christians have all of us experienced some of God's Spirit within us at some point. We're all lit up by this fire of the Spirit at some point in time. And just as proud parents or grandparents can congratulate one another on the birth of children, grandchildren, or graduating students, so Jesus' words of affirmation from his Father, we hear those words again from what we read this morning. And Luke puts it this way, "You are my own dear son, I am pleased with you." That I love you, I'm pleased with you, what you've done, I'm proud of you, I love you. It sounds as if Jesus has passed with flying colors, making his heavenly parent very proud. However, Jesus prepared and trained for this moment. He's done it very well. It's not documented in the Gospels. And he's ready now to take on the task which his Father has sent him to do. His baptism is like his commissioning for his life's work. But here we are encountering another symbol in this Gospel reading. When the disciples encountered the Spirit of God at Pentecost, it was like a fire to them, like tongues of fire on each other's heads. But when Jesus receives the Spirit at his baptism, it's referred to as coming upon him like a dove. You know, there's really no parallel image in the Old Testament of this event taking place, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke all mention it in their accounts of Jesus' baptism. And so for us as Christians, the dove has become a rather lovely image of the Spirit. And we see that all the time on Christian symbols quite often as a dove. It may be that it has its roots, as I've mentioned before, in that early part of the Bible in Genesis, where there's an echoing in the Noah releasing the dove and it coming back with that olive branch in its mouth to let him know that there was dry land ahead and that God was no longer at war with humankind, that peace was now reigning. We may be baptized with fire, and it's good to be fired up in the Spirit, but the dove reminds us that the Spirit can also calm our souls. And I think this is a key point in this particular point, especially for these days. It's hard to look at the news, even the weather, and not get alarmed these days. It just seems that it's increasing somewhat. Many of you know our son is in Australia, and he's in Sydney, which is the southeast part of Australia that is literally burning to everything. And he's just told us that he's considering getting a job in the northwest corner of Australia. And his comment last night was, "It's full of crocodiles." because it's raining so much, it's flooding there, and crocodiles are going further inland, and all this wetland that's now being created. So it's flooding and, you know, pushing people out of their homes in northwestern Australia, and it's burning to get all together in southeastern Australia. And that's just one place. We can continue to read things. It gets alarming. And we can get caught up in this whirlwind of news and events. And we just heard about a plane that was shot down in the Middle East just this week, and all the tensions that are going on around that. It can seem like a lot of noise, a lot of fire, if you like. So this image of the dove, I think, is critical for us in this day in which we live. This day in which we live. I don't mean this time period. I'm talking about even this day. We need that peace that the dove represents. And I say it as well on a more local level. You know, I can look around this room and I know all of you very well. And I know the various things that are going on in your lives, the stuff that's going on in my own life. We need this dove, don't we? We need to pause for a moment and let this peace of God float down, if you like, in that symbol over us. Hecticness can overtake us, and the fear of what's going on outside and within our bounds can overwhelm us at times. Not just fear, it's just, I don't know, just the anxiety maybe, I suppose, that's involved. You know, when we think about Jesus' life, this was a lovely kickoff to the start of his life, but Jesus knew very well, even at this point, even though the people around him didn't necessarily, he knew what was coming. It wasn't going to be easy for Jesus. You know, we would like to know the future. I mean, we talk about that a lot of times. We want to know what's going to come. Jesus actually knew his future and still faced it. Jesus knew that things weren't going to go so well through the course of his life on this earth. And he didn't shy away from that. He took it on. I don't know that we all could do that. If you knew your future meant that you were going to be ill, or that you were going to lose your home, or that someone in your life that very important to you was going to pass on, and all the ache that was going to, it would be hard to kind of move forward in some respects. But Jesus did anyway. So it's good that he had that dove giving him that peace that he needed to move forward. And we too have that peaceful dove in our lives. And it's represented as we gather even today. As I mentioned earlier in the service, we're here as God's people. We're here as God's people to support and love each other no matter what we're going through. We're that dove, if you like, of peace and calmness and taking a breath for one another no matter what we're experiencing. And that's important. And as I talk with some of you over these last few months in particular, one of the things that's been coming up repeatedly is the people that we, many of us know, who don't come to church, are not a part of this congregation or any congregation for that matter, who are missing something in their lives. If nothing else, just the connection with other people and the peace that that brings about. Yes, I know there's always stuff going on and we're always... there's some little bicker going on here or there. That's normal connections with people. But ultimately, the overall is the peace that's there. And there are a lot of people in our community, if we stop for a moment and look around, there are a lot of people in our community, young and old alike, who have no other connection. They're on their own. And it's hard when you don't have this. And as I've said and we've said in conversation many times, one of the problems with the non-attendance to church has been that lack of connection. Because think back in the heyday, if you like, when church had baseball games and bowling games and dinners and socials, and there was a lot of connection points for people in their lives. Where are they getting that now? Many people just aren't. Other people compensate by doing other things, I suppose, but they're missing that piece that comes with this connection point here. And it's that dove, that like a dove coming down in our midst and saying, you know what, everything's going to be okay. Even if you did know what's coming up in the next little while, everything's going to be all right. God's peace is here. God loves us and has baptized us into that love. The moment we were all baptized, the moment we all came to Jesus in that sense, and continues to love us. He offers us a baptism of fire, that fire that we need to inspire us, but He also offers us that spirit of peace, that dove, the Spirit of God which brought creation out of chaos, offers us that same peace in our turbulent lives, or lives that can often be turbulent. In the baptism, and we are all kind of rebaptized as we come before God, especially in the opening part of our service when we're confessing and thinking about the Lord, God calls each of us by name and offers us the joy and challenges of being followers of Jesus Christ. And that's who we are. We're not just religious people. We're not just people who do something just because we have to. We are here because Jesus has called us and gives us the peace that we need, like a dove can bring. Amen. God gives us so much, and this is the moment in which we give back to God. We respond in faith, and we present our tithes and our offerings to the Lord.